Cool. Firstly, I think it would be wrong. I would have missed it if I wasn't talking about love this morning. But my sermon's titled Intimate Love. Just like to say that Steve phoned me this morning. He sends his love. He just phoned to make sure that I hadn't forgotten that I was preaching. And strangely enough, I actually dreamt this morning that I did forget. Yeah, and it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I got my dad here. Really, it's a privilege. It's a spoil for me to have him here. And he is the best dad in the world, so the rest of us, we're fighting it out for second place. Yeah, so let's get into the Word. I want to just talk a little bit about the love of God this morning and also His presence. They're just two things which have been so burning on my heart lately. And I think they go hand in hand. They work very well together. So I want to structure it by just talking about, firstly, His fiery, passionate love that He has for us. And then secondly, just how we experience that and how it's through the presence that we experience His love. And then I just want to talk a little bit about the presence, how to enjoy more of the presence. We've heard a lot about how we are the righteousness of God in Christ and how God has made us right with Him. And it's really, really good news if we believe God is a good, loving God. But if we have a different view of God, if we think He's an angry God, or if we think He's maybe He changes, He's not always in a good mood, or He's sometimes cross, or if He's weak, then being right with Him is actually not that exciting, is it? But it is good news because we serve a God who loves us so passionately. So I just, at the outset, I just want to say to you, you know, we've heard this, that we're right with God, that we are one with Christ. Steve's been talking a lot about our union with Christ and how we're one with Him. And I just want to encourage you just to open up your hearts this morning, just to get a different picture of God, to realize that He is a good God, that He is a loving God who loves you so passionately. And in Ephesians 3, it says that, you don't have to bring it up yet, Andrew, thanks. Paul's praying this prayer to the Ephesian church, and he's talking about that they would grasp the height and the depth and the breadth and the width of the love of God, and that they would know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that they may be filled with all the fullness of God. So he doesn't say we must be right with Him so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. He's saying we need to know His love to be filled with all the fullness. Being right with Him has qualified us to receive all His fullness, but unless we know the love, we're not going to enter into His fullness. So it's kind of like if you're married to somebody, let's say you're a woman, you marry a really wealthy man, and him marrying you qualifies you as the wife to his entire inheritance. Talking about traditional marriage where what's mine is yours, doesn't always happen like that anymore. But, you know, that's a qualification. You get married, you're qualified to receive and enjoy the inheritance. But if the wife does not believe that her husband loves her, she's not going to, if she needs new clothes or whatever, she's not going to go out and just buy the clothes. She's going to go trembling, like, can I buy clothes? Or she's going to just keep wearing her filthy rags, you know? You hear what I'm saying? It's maybe not the greatest example. But if she believes that her husband loves her so passionately, then she's just going to go and enjoy the inheritance and, you know, everything that they have together as one. Does that make sense? Good stuff. Okay, so I just believe that this morning God is wanting to reveal His heart to us. He's just wanting us to realize how much He loves us. He's made us right because He loves us. Because of His great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Because He loves us, we are right with Him. And He made us right so that we can enjoy His love. He loves us because we're right because He loves us, and we're right so that we can enjoy His love. He's made us right so that we can enjoy His presence. In His presence, you know, His presence is God Himself. He wants us to be intimate. He's everything. He created you so that you can enjoy His glory, so that you can enjoy His presence. He wants you to enjoy Himself. That is his purpose of creating us, so that we can enjoy him. He's a good, loving God, glorious, glorious God, and all he wants is for us to enjoy him. For me, that is really good news. His creating us was motivated by love. Okay? And he wants us to share in that glory. Just under a year ago, God was speaking to me. I was driving up Fields Hill, and he just said to me, "I'm wanting to bring a love revolution." And I thought, okay, that's cool. And he said, are you ready to trust my love? Sorry, I always get emotional when I share this. And I said, yeah, cool. You know, I didn't really think much of it. And then I drive a few hundred meters, get to a robot, and opposite me on the other side of the robot is a car with the number plate love. And so that seriously got my attention. I thought, okay, God's speaking. There's a love revolution coming. And then probably a few months later, he reminded me, I was driving again, and he said, just remember, I'm bringing a love revolution. And I thought, okay, that's cool, you know, bring it. I'm ready, I want it. And he reminded me of Revelation chapter 2, where it says, he's talking to the Ephesian church again, and he says to them, you've forsaken your first love, you've forgotten the heart from which you have fallen. And I've always been taught that that's our love for him. We've forgotten that first love that we have for him. And he said, no, that's my love for you. That's the first love. So he's wanting us to get back to that place. And we've heard so many other people, they've had these pictures, these visions of just this tidal wave of the love of God coming. And it's just going to consume us. Angus and Suzette's son had a dream the other day, and he wouldn't have known about all the other words. He had a dream that this tidal wave came and just covered their house, but their heart, everything was perfect. It wasn't a destructive tidal wave. It was a tidal wave of love. And, you know, we got to get excited for this. I don't know, I'm not really sure how to prepare for it, because when a tsunami comes, it comes. We can't miss it. You can't run away from it. But I'm going to try to talk about it. I think maybe if we just stir up our hearts, it might just create a hunger and an excitement, and who knows. So Steve's been talking about our union with Christ, this mystical union that we have, and how we are one with him. And there's a passage in Ephesians chapter 5, if we can turn there. Andrew, Ephesians 5, from the ESV, from verse 22. It's a classic passage. It's talking about husbands and wives. But actually, although Paul is talking to husbands and wives, he's talking more about Christ and the church. So if we can read it, and I'm going to read it to you, and try focus on the Christ and the church part. So from verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." Profound mystery of how the two have become one. We are now one with Christ. And it tells us in this passage that he's made us pure. He's made us blameless. He's completely qualified us, completely made us pure. The way he looks at us is just mind-blowing. He says we're without spot or wrinkle, any such thing. We are holy and without blemish in his eyes. That is already done. That is how he sees all of us who have accepted his sacrifice on the cross. Okay? Now, he says, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. That's talking about Christ and the church. When Christ is loving us, he's actually loving himself because we are part of his body. We're one with him. Just as Christ does it, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Christ is nourishing and cherishing us. He just has this fiery love that's in his eyes where he is pouring it out upon us, where he's nourishing and cherishing us so that we can be built up into him who is the head. He is the head of this body, and he wants us, the rest of his body, to come into line with that and to reflect that same glory that he has. And so he is nourishing and cherishing us and loving us to that place. And something that really blew me away, I think it was last week in worship, I was thinking about this passage, especially the verse where it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. And Paul goes on to say, this mystery is profound. I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Now, it's a profound mystery that's talking about our union with Christ. Do you know where this verse comes from? Genesis chapter 2, Eve had just been created. God took the rib out of Adam, created Eve. The two were standing before him. And the next verse says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And Paul is saying it refers to Christ and the church. Our union with Christ was always God's plan A. The Garden of Eden was not plan A. This is plan A, our union with Christ. It happened, this was said before the fall, not after the fall. There's no tree of good and evil in this union with Christ. We just have the tree of life. That's why I believe it's plan A. Funny story, I get these weird thoughts. I was like, God, what happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And I just had this picture of it getting chopped down and turned into a cross. Don't write a book on it. I thought it was just funny. Okay, so now we are the bride of Christ in perfect union with him. Revelations chapter 1 says that his eyes are like blazing fire. Song of Songs chapter 8. I want us to look at this, please. Song in the NIV. And from verse 6. Song of Songs 8 verse 6 in the NIV. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love, rivers cannot wash it away. His eyes are like blazing fire, and it says his love is like blazing fire. I want us to picture our bridegroom, Jesus, looking into our eyes with the blazing fire of his love, looking at us. I believe our life now is like one never-ending first dance. We've just got married to Jesus, and it's now one never-ending first dance, where our bridegroom is looking into our eyes with this fiery love. And I just felt like Jesus wanted me to speak this over you guys. Can we just close our eyes? And I want you to just picture yourself in this first dance position with Jesus. And just hear him saying this to you. Stay close to me. I delight in you. I am the God of all gods, the Creator. I have your life in my hands. You are safe and secure with me. The enemy cannot harm you. I will be your provider. I want you to share in my glory forever. You are sitting with me on my throne now, in heaven, and nothing can change that. I want you to see what I see, the glory of heaven. I want you to live like me in the authority that I have. All the power of the Father that was exerted in raising me from the dead is now channeled at you. This is not for when you die, it is for now. My Spirit is with you, making this love relationship that we have real. I want you to know and rely on this love I have for you. I delight in you. You are perfect to me. I want you to live your life focused on only one thing, my love for you. Everything else will happen naturally from there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, how cool is that? That is our life now. It's so simple. It really is. We complicate it because we try to do things. We think that God's wanting to use us and almost abuse us, but He doesn't want that. He just wants us to love, just to be in this love relationship and just this constant first dance where He's loving us and He's the leader on this dance and He's going to take us. And all we do, the Bible says that we co-labor with Him. We don't labor for Him. We labor with Him. God's not using us. He's not I'm God and I'm going to use you, my servant. No, we're now His bride and we're working with Him. And it's all just out of this place of love and rest and letting Him lead us. So I want to encourage you just to keep that picture. That picture of Jimmy was saying how His love is furious. It's a blazing fire that's coming out of His eyes. It never ceases. He's never changing. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same love that He had for you when He went to the cross, He has for you today. If He had to, He would die again for you. But He doesn't have to. But He still has that same love for you. The Bible says that He's given us, if He gave us His own Son, how much more will He give us everything else? This is good. I'm just sharing this stuff because when we know the love of God, we kind of can access the fullness of Him. We can be filled with all the fullness of God. So it's so good for our hearts just to be so consumed with His love for us. The different aspects of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I want to talk a little bit about God the Father now. How does the Father see us? You know, we're told that we're a child of God. It may not always be good news if you... we're told that God is our Father. Now, if you've had an earthly father who maybe wasn't such a great father, then that's not always good news to you. It doesn't always excite you thinking, I'm a child of God, He's my Father, but my Father, I don't want a father like that. Because the reality is, our view of our earthly father does affect our view of God as a father. But it doesn't have to, because our Heavenly Father is a good Father. No earthly father can ever match up to Him. He is loving 100% of the time. He is good 100% of the time. He wants to give good gifts to His children 100% of the time. So how are you viewing God? Is it exciting? Do you just see yourself as a son or a daughter of God? Or do you see yourself as a beloved son or daughter of God? Because that's who we really are. We're not just sons and daughters of God. We're beloved sons and daughters of God. When Jesus was baptized, the voice of the Father came down from heaven. He said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Not just, "This is my Son." No, "This is my beloved Son. The one who I love and embrace and who's spending time with me all throughout the day, and I'm revealing my heart to Him because I want Him to do what He sees me doing." That's our identity. We are beloved, beloved children of the Most High God. James and I, we often email each other, and we went through a stage where we're trying to catch this revelation of how we're the beloved. And we decided we're going to start signing off our emails and start like calling each other like the beloved. His beloved, or we'd mix it up every time and say, "I'm the beloved child of God," or "Cheers, His beloved," you know. And it sounds cheesy, but we wanted to believe it. We wanted that to be our identity. I'm a beloved son of the Most High God. John the disciple, he would go around only in his gospel. And I love that it was only in his gospel where he was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. That was his identity to him. He didn't want to call himself John. He wanted to call himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. I think that is really cool. I love that it was only written in his gospel. If the others wrote it, then I think it would be a bit weird. Because, yeah, it just would be. But the fact that he wrote it about himself says that he caught something. He knew who he was. His identity wasn't in himself. He didn't want to be called John. John is like, okay, I'm Peter. I don't want to be Peter. I want to be a beloved child of God. I want that to be my identity. So let's start seeing the Father as an amazing, loving Father who loves us passionately, who gave up His Son for us so that we can enjoy His embrace, so that we can enjoy Him. Everything was so that we can enjoy Him. He did it all. He created us so we can enjoy Him, and He gave His Son so that we can enjoy Him again because we messed it up the first time around. So now, is this just good news? Shit, I'm just seeing the time. I need to be cracking. I don't want this just to be a theory. And neither does God want this just to be a theory. He wants us to be a reality. He wants it to be an experience. He wants us to experience His love. It's not ever meant to just be head knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. He wants us to be such an experiential knowledge. In Ephesians 3, where I quoted it earlier, it says that we may know this love that surpasses knowledge. That doesn't make sense. How can you know something that surpasses knowledge? If you experience something, then you know about it. So He wants us to experience His love. He wants it to be something real. So how do we experience it? It's by His Spirit. Romans 5 says He's poured out His heart, His love into our hearts by His Spirit. He, in His Spirit, the Holy Spirit in Song of Songs chapter 1, it says, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His lips. We sang it earlier in that song, heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. Do you know what that's talking about? It's just talking about the Holy Spirit, His presence. When we experience the Holy Spirit and His presence, we're experiencing the kiss of our union with Christ. He's making it real to us. Because heaven, we're not in heaven literally right now, physically, but we have the Spirit who is making heaven real to us now. He's making our inheritance real to us now. Let me just go to Ephesians chapter 1 and quote something. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible lately. In Ephesians 1, verse 13, it says, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit is the one who is guaranteeing this inheritance that we have. Our inheritance is an eternal, intimate love relationship with God. It's heaven. That's what heaven is. It's God and us. We're in His presence. And the Holy Spirit is making that real to us now. That is how God reveals it to us. How God makes this union real. How He makes this Father-Son relationship real with us. It's by His Spirit, and we can experience it tangibly. We can actually physically feel His love. We don't always feel it, but we can know it. Because His Spirit will awaken it in our hearts. And we'll just suddenly just think, wow, I know God loves me. And we don't even know what hit us. We could just be walking down the street, feel nothing different, and suddenly we're like, wow, God loves us. That's His Spirit just revealing it in our hearts. In Acts chapter 2, before I said His eyes are like blazing fire, and His love is like blazing fire, in Acts chapter 2, the first baptism of the Spirit, tongues of fire came down on the disciples and they received power. Now, this is just me getting creative, I don't know, but I believe those tongues of fire were His fiery love. They were just being baptized in His fiery, intimate personal love. It's not such a wild theory because God is love and Holy Spirit is God. So, you know, I really feel that that first baptism was just a baptism of love, just being consumed and filled with the love of God. None of us want to be in a marriage without the physical expression of marriage, the sex. Okay, I said, got it out there. A marriage without that is boring. Come on, let's be real. Our union with Christ is also, it's boring. It's just theory if we don't have that kiss. If we don't have that real experience of the Holy Spirit making it real. He makes it real to us. So we need to make a habit of getting into His presence so that our relationship with God can be more than just intellectual idea, but rather a fiery, passionate, loving marriage. Can I take another 5-10 minutes? I just want to talk a little bit about the presence. We've spoken about His love and how it's made real in His presence. So I want to talk a little bit about the presence and how we can experience more of the presence. Firstly, in Galatians 3, Paul's writing to the Galatian church, and he says, did you receive the Spirit by obeying the law or by believing what you heard? So firstly, the first thing to receive the Spirit is to believe in what Jesus has done for us. If we want to receive the Spirit, we've got to believe. And then he says, Jesus stood up in John chapter 7, verse 37, he says, all who are thirsty, come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit, who he wants to pour out upon us. We just need to believe and receive. Drinking is not a difficult thing. If you're thirsty, you just drink. It's not, you know, there's not much to it. Unfortunately, we think that verse says, come to me and think. It says, come to me and drink. We just need to believe in what He's done for us, and then we need to go to Him and believe that He wants to pour out His Spirit upon us. He wants it more than we do. He wants us embrace more than we do. Okay, so much so, we're not the ones who laid down our life. He laid down His life so that we can enjoy this union. So He's the one who wants to make it real, more than we do. So we don't have to strive for this. We don't have to strive to let Him love us. We just need to let Him love us. And just go to Him and say, Jesus, please love me. Then, another very important thing is that we need to realize that everything God does in us, through us, for us, is to take us deeper into His presence. I actually believe that every verse in the Bible is written to take us deeper into His presence. That's a bold statement, but I believe so surely that He created us for intimacy with Him. That everything is pointing us to that place. To enjoy intimacy with Him and to enjoy His presence. So if God does something for you, say He heals you, we need to recognize that healing, it's great, we celebrate it, but it's pointing to a greater reality. God is just revealing something of Himself. Every manifestation of God is a revelation of Himself. And He's just revealing, if He heals you, He's revealing that He is a good, loving God who wants you healthy. He is the healer. And when we see that, it takes us into a deeper place. If we just focus on the healing, then that healing is our reward. We receive a temporary reward. But if we see where it's coming from, we see the healer, we receive an eternal reward. So, whenever God does something for us, we need to see what is it pointing to. It's pointing to Himself. He wants us to get drawn to Himself. That is His purpose. He's like, my son, my bride, just come deeper. Come deeper, come deeper. I'm giving you this so that you can see that I'm a good, loving God. I want you to come deeper into my presence. I want to embrace you. I want to give you even more. I want you to have everything. I want you to enjoy everything that I enjoy. Come and share it with me. And so he's preparing our hearts. We can't experience it right now. I think we're not ready for it. So he draws us. Because he loves us, he gives it to us in stages. He prepares us for it. So he'll give you one thing and just to reveal himself. And if we see that, it takes us deeper. It takes us into that deeper place of his presence. I just want to quickly give you some practicals on the presence. In Psalm 16, it says, David set the Lord before him. All the days of his life, David set the Lord before him. There's something intentional about that. David knew that God is omnipresent, he's everywhere. So he thought, well, I'm going to choose to believe that he's right here with me. And we need to do the same. We need to make a habit of that, saying, I choose to believe that Jesus, you're with me right now. And when we believe that he's with us, you know, it's not just a head knowledge thing again, just an intellectual thing, like, okay, God's with me, his presence is with me, and we carry on living. No, there's got to be experience attached to that. Because his presence is real. In his presence is the kingdom. In his kingdom, the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. So if we are in his presence, something needs to happen. And so that's how we need to be living. We need to be walking with this thing of the presence of God is with me, and it's going to affect me. It's going to bring change to me. I'm going to let it. And that's how we live. It's kind of like that living in this whole first dance thing where we're in this intimate, loving relationship, and we're just letting him be him and lead us and love us and change us from one degree of glory to another. The more you believe it, the more you will feel it. The righteous live by faith, not by feelings. We need to believe before we feel. We all want to feel something, and as soon as we feel something, like, oh, okay, I believe. No, no, no. Believe it, and then you'll feel it. The faith will set you up for the feelings. It's the same thing. Righteous live by faith, not understanding. Faith comes before understanding. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith they understood that everything was created, the universe was created by God. Understanding comes by faith. Faith is above intellect, again. Understanding is in our intellect. Faith is above it. When we believe, the understanding starts to come. He starts to give us that understanding. So don't think you have to understand everything. Just believe it. Like I said, just drink, don't think. Colossians chapter 3, set your hearts and minds on things above. He wants us to live in the reality of our position. When we set our hearts and minds on that place, we're positioning ourselves in our hearts and in our minds. We're positioning ourselves to where we really are. Because in Ephesians 2 it says we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's where we're all seated right now. And if we set our hearts and minds there, then we get to experience heaven. What's there. But there is something intentional. We need to be intentional about it by making a habit of setting our hearts and minds there. Psalm 22 says he establishes his throne on the praises of his people. Again, this ties in with setting your heart and mind on things above. Praise creates that atmosphere in our lives for God to reveal himself. It sets us up to that place. Praise takes us in our hearts to that. You see, God is always wanting to pour out his presence on us. Praise and setting our hearts and minds is just our way of actually stepping into it and saying, okay, sorry, I don't know how to do this. I don't even know where it was there. So yeah, praise creates that atmosphere for his presence just to be revealed to us. Thanksgiving. Jimmy touched on that earlier as well. When we focus our attention on the giver and not just the gift, it sets us up for more of himself. There were, in Luke 17, the story of the lepers, there were 10 lepers. They all went to Jesus for healing. All 10 of them got healed. Jesus healed them and they had to go away and present themselves to, I think, the priest. And then 9 of them just went away. One of them went back to Jesus and said, thank you. And you know that Thanksgiving, and if you look in the, is it Greek or Hebrew? Greek. In the original Greek, when the tenth guy came back to Jesus and gave thanks, Jesus said, go your way and be whole, or be cleansed, be healed, whatever the word is. But in the Greek word is sozo, which is complete, being made whole, being healed, being transformed, being changed, giving peace. Like, it's the complete package. The others just got the physical healing. He got the complete healing because he went back and gave thanks. He went back to the source. There's something powerful about giving thanks. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I'm God. It's important for us just to be still and let him encounter us. Let him love us. Bill Johnson says that he takes some time, sets aside time every day just to let God love him. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't take anything with him. He doesn't have any prayer requests, nothing. He just says, God, your turn just to love me. And he says that's his fuel for the day. Okay. It's a quick recap. He is love, and he wants to love us passionately. There is a blazing fire in his eyes for every single one of us. It's a blazing fire of his love that cannot be quenched. Let him kiss you with the kisses of his mouth. Let him make this union that he has with you real. This relationship with you. Let it be real. Let's follow his voice. Let's dance with him. Let's follow his lead. Let him take us wherever, because it's all out of love. This is such a passionate love that he has for us, and I trust his love for me way more than I trust my love for myself. I'll let him take me wherever. I've said it in front of everyone. Can we pray? Father, we just thank you for this amazing love that you have for us. Lord, we thank you that you gave your life for us because you love us. You have brought us into union with yourself because you love us and because you want us to experience who you are, the glorious, most high God, good God, passionate God, glorious God. You want us to enjoy you. Lord, I just pray right now that for every single one of us, you will give us a revelation of your love. Lord, that you will help us to grasp the heart and the depth and the breadth and the width of this love. The love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. May we know this love, Lord God, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. We want everything that you have for us, Lord. May we know how much you love us and how much you want us to have it all. How much you want to fill us. Lord Jesus, I pray that we'll wake up every morning with that image in our heads of your blazing, fiery love. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for that love, Lord. We thank you so much for that love, Lord. What more do we need? What else do we need in this life if we have your love? It is such an extravagant love, God. Lord, we can rest in it. We can rely on it. We can trust in it. Every moment of every day. Lord, we thank you for this love. We thank you for this love. Lord, teach us to rely on it. Teach us to trust in you daily, God. Lord, I just pray for greater encounters in your presence, Lord. Lord, I pray that your presence will just be released, Lord. Even now, Lord, just that your presence will be poured out upon us. And Lord, that you are love. So when you come and touch us, love himself is touching us. Lord, I pray that we will grasp this, that we will grasp your love in your presence, Lord. May we set aside time every day to experience your presence, to experience your love. Lord, we want this relationship with you to be real, this love relationship to be so real. Thank you for all that you are, Lord. Thank you that you are opening our hearts to it, Lord. Amen.